For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Jensen sitting in once more for Brett Winterbowl, taking you up till 6 o'clock tonight. Telephone number 704-570-1110. And joining me, we haven't done radio together in a while, but he is here and he's back. And it's been a pretty long hiatus, and that's Coach Matt Doherty joining us in studio. So, first of all, you've been like all over the place, right?
I mean, Yeah. It's good to be back with you, Brett. I was in New York last week. I was honored at a dinner, which is really cool, CYO dinner, Catholic Youth Organization, and got to see some buddies from grammar school and high school, had a golf outing, and my family was there. My wife and daughter were there. My daughter's living in New York. So, and then had a book signing event at Mulcahy's Pub in Wantagh, a big establishment, and Brian Kilmeade attended. It was really cool to have him there. And I asked him to say a few words, and he did. Saw some great, you know, high school teammates and classmates from, you know, from back in the day. And then Saturday had a book signing at my grammar school, so St. Raphael's in East Meadow. So we had a great week, my wife and I, and really neat to see my daughter getting settled on Long Island. She's working for Ralph Lauren in New York City.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's really, we just had a wonderful, fulfilling week.
So I know the commute from Long Island to the city of, or the borough of Manhattan, which everyone up there calls the city. In terms of that, is that a long commute? Is she actually living in Long Island?
She is. She's living in Long Beach with my sister. She's taken over that lease. My sister's moving out. And the cool thing is Long Beach is the first stop or the last stop, obviously, depending on when you're coming. So she walks into a warm train at like 7:20. And you know, if you're falling asleep, it's the last train, so you don't sleep through your stop. And it's direct to Penn Station, and then she walks from Penn Station to her office.
Okay.
So it's as good a commute as you can ask for.
That's awesome, man. Ralph Lauren, and anyone who knows anything about me knows that I am a Ralph Lauren disciple. Probably, yep. And I'm not even joking, probably 95% of my clothes are Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's really, I've always worn, you know, his stuff too. And, you know, just to now get to understand the culture, you know, he's still involved. Mm. He's, I think, in his early 80s. And, you know, when you talk to business owners and leaders, like, why is Ralph Lauren still successful? Why is Chick-fil-A still successful? And I've asked successful business owners this, and they say, because the founders are still involved. Mm. As opposed to selling off the name and letting a private equity firm take over, and they're just, you know, trying to increase the revenue, the profit margin, and they don't really care as much about the legacy and the brand as the founder would. So it's amazing what Ralph Lauren has done over many, many years.
Well, it's funny. So you, hey, you said Lauren, which,
right.
Funny thing is, I used to say that all the time.
I used to say it all
that's
the time.
That's how too. I used to pronounce it, Ralph Lauren.
Right.
And they're like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, I thought that's the way it's pronounced. Yeah. But you also taught me something else, just from an old sports thing, to get in the weeds for a second. When you said CYO, so I've known about CYO my entire sports career, even before that, when you would watch documentaries on ESPN, whatever, and, you know, CYO. And I always thought it meant city youth organization,
right.
Not Catholic youth. I thought it was,
yep,
city youth.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's a Catholic youth organization. And, you know, the Mr. Perkel, who passed away, I recognized that night. He was the gentleman who for 40 years ran the league. And you think of, like, not many people really knew who he was. You know, he wasn't a coach. He wasn't a player. But behind the scenes, he was the one that made sure the gym was open. The coaches were hired. The referees showed up. You know, and without Mr. Perkel and my coach, Mr. Coleman, who I ended up seeing at the book signing, I'd seen since I was in eighth grade. You know, it was really cool. The impact that men and women can have on young people by providing them a platform to fall in love with a sport, a musical instrument, technology, whatever it might be, painting, you know, without those men, you know, maybe I don't play basketball and fall in love with the sport like I did. And so it's just so thankful to grow up in East Meadow in the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah, the, you know, in terms of my love for sports, it was sort of, you know, ingrained in me because, you know, my grandmother's in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame in Knoxville, Tennessee. Basically being a part of that, the basketball version of a league of your own, you know, play professional basketball for New York in the 30s. And but with me, it was the boys club, the boys and girls club. And that was basically my, for lack of a better term, my babysitter after school.
That's
and
right.
All during the summer. I mean, that's where I was always at. And I mean, there were times mom would drop me off at 9 a.m. or I'd be at my grandparents who lived real close to it. And I would walk there and I would be there from 9 a.m. to maybe 4 p.m.
Yeah. How about that?
You know?
Yeah. It shapes you.
It does.
You know, the people that influence you at that age, you know, and they're going to either influence you for good or for bad, you know, and it's usually a coach or an older person that you're impressed with, and maybe that's an athlete, maybe it's a musician, maybe it's somebody who's got a nice car or money, and you know, you fall into either a good trap or a bad trap.
Well, it's impressive, though, that you still, like, remember names, because I have a hard time remembering my teachers' names, except for the ones that I absolutely wanted to just, like, you know, get rid of, to put it politely, but it was... But there are only a couple of people from my youth in the world of sports that I remember their actual names.
Gotcha.
And that's pretty impressive that you were like just started rattling people off.
Yeah, well, you know, they made a big impact. And my brother then came up through the ranks behind me. And so he had some of the same coaches. And then funny story, my nephew married into the Egan family, and his father-in-law, Tom Egan, taught me in sixth grade social studies. He was at the dinner. And I'm like, how old were you when you were teaching me? He said, 21. I'm like, 21 years old? You're teaching, that should be against the law.
Right, right.
You're teaching me social studies at 21. And I'm like, I was 12.
I can't imagine me doing that at 21.
Right?
Like, at 21, like, I was a disaster.
Right.
Not much has changed since, but even more of a disaster.
He was a disaster with a mustache and a tie. He looked like Tom Selleck. And you know, it's like, you know, at that time, you hung on every word.
Yeah.
Because he was older and he was, you know. But we were blessed to have people that cared to teach.
Well, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but it's to your point. Being the sports freak show that I was from about 8 years old throughout my entire career, and knowing every stat and where everyone was from, and like, but it, when you guys went to the national championship in 81 and then again in 82, and I would have been 12 and 13 years old, I thought you guys were basically old men. And you're only like 8 years old. It's like, oh my gosh, he's on TV.
Right.
And you know, James Worthy had a beard.
That's right.
You know, and I thought you guys were like basically old guys.
That's right. No, I get it. It's all about perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, same deal. I mean, I'm 12 years old in this class, and I have a 21-year-old man teaching us, and I, you know, the perspective is so warped. You know, you think he's fully matured. I look at, you know, me at 21, as you said, you at 21, you know, I don't know if I'd want myself at 21 teaching my son at 12.